Take your chairs. Thank you, worship team. Amen. I'd forgot to mention that Pastor Anthony is in California. Been there for a week. He'll be there for till the week and next. He'll be here next Sunday. But he's here with Pastor Eddie. Now, and Pastor Eddie, he's the pastor in Sacramento. He is like one of my kids. I've known him since he was 19. And he's doing a great, great work there in Sacramento. And so Anthony is doing work for him. And he was going to charge him, you know, money. And then Eddie pulled a trump card. I forgot about this. This is just a side note. It has nothing to do with the message. Nothing. But Pastor Eddie goes, Anthony, you can't. You got to be careful now, Anthony. And he goes, why? He goes, I changed your diapers. Now, that's a heavy trump card to pull. And I thought about it. I go, oh, wait a minute. Eddie did change his diapers, right? Well, I go, what? I go, hey, Ann, I'm out of this one. This is between you and Eddie. I, you know, because we're talking about how much should I charge him, Dad? I go, I'll charge him this much. Then when he pulled this card, I go, wow, that's a different story now. Because he did change your diapers. So that's between you and Eddie. And so he flew out there, and I'm pretty sure he's not going to charge him anything. Amen. But Eddie and I and his family go way back. And their daughters, he has four daughters, four girls, and they love Anthony, his daughters. They look like Uncle Anthony. And so they're over here, they're going to have fun. They always have a blast with him. So he just went water rafting. So it's like a vacation, he had to get away. And, you know, he's been doing a lot of ministry and everything you see, you know, I want to do this. Give the Bible says, give honor where honor is due. The worship team, you guys did well in his absence. Didn't the worship team do a great job? Amen. They did a great job. So that's a testament to their work. But it's also a testament to Anthony's work, you know. And so I was really pleased, you know. We didn't lose a beat. Nothing. It's really good. So enough with that. If you have Hebrews chapter 2, verse 4. Amen. It says there, God also testified to it by signs, wonders, and various miracles, and gifts of the Holy Spirit distributed according to his will. Now, the decisive factor is the link of the sign or wonder to God. Because we live in a day and age, and it's becoming more and more prevalent. It's always been. But more and more people are receiving or accepting it, that there are signs and wonders. There are miracles. But the key is, not every sign and wonder is God. And it has to be, any sign and wonder has to be attributed, there has to be a direct link to God. Why is there a sign and wonder? Because the enemy has a way of just sidetracking people by signs and wonders. And then people begin to look for the sign and wonder rather than looking for God. Amen. So we have to first understand, does the miracle align with God's word? And not just God's word, but God's purpose. Not just the high sign, because we've seen people do crazy things that have a gift, but they're using it to make money, and they do it on TV, and they've done, you know, different calling to call out people. And there's a number of people, I can name them, but they're not that important, so I won't name them. But they do have a gift, but because it's not being aligned to God, they're demonic. And now, they may not know it, they may think they're just doing it for money, and that's what they're doing, but if they're not giving God the glory for the gift that they're using, then its root is demonic. So it's recognized, God's miracles are recognized in the light of his teachings. And that's what you have to be careful with. Does anything you see, anything you do, align with his teaching or previous acts that God has done? Or is it part of continuing knowledge? Because you're going to grow and grow and grow. We've seen people get healed. I've seen people get healed instantly. Hepatitis C, gone. Cancer, removed. I went to the hospital, and it was he was on life support system. Danny's uncle, Nancy's brother-in-law. They're gonna pull a plug. It was right here. So I walk in,
go in the room, the corner, and he looked in bad shape. And he doesn't even know what happened, because I went by myself. Nobody was there. And I prayed for him, and this is what happened. I'm praying for him, and he's on life support system. They're going to get ready to pull the plug, because it was time for him to go. I prayed for him. The nurses, in this kind of weird room, you're in the room, and in the corner was like a window where the nurse was sitting overlooking the room, right? So I'm praying for him, and as I'm praying, he sat up. Now, I wish I could say it didn't startle me, but I jumped back. Amen. I jumped back because I got startled. And I looked at him. He looked at me. Then he laid back down. I looked at the nurse. The nurse's eyes were like that big. I go, and she goes, she just shook her head. And I walked out. Nobody knew I was there. I think my wife knew I went. And I think Nancy found out later. But they took him off life support system, and he's still alive today. So God wants to increase our knowledge, so he'll do things like that. He just doesn't want it, because people say, well, God, heal me because you want to heal me. No, that's why not everybody gets healed, because sometimes God says, no, I'm not going to heal you, I'm going to bring you home. Now, to us, we're bum kicked. But to the one who's going home, they're not mad about it. They're in heaven. So we don't have that concept. It's hard for us to grab, you know, heaven, you know, because we all want to go to heaven, right? But none of us really wants to die. Come on. But let me let you know something. You're gonna die.
Yeah.
A lot quicker, sooner than you think, because life is but a vapor, here today, gone tomorrow.
Yeah.
So you got to be careful where what the miracle is doing or testifying to. That's what I'm trying to say. In Deuteronomy 13, 1 through 3, it says, if a prophet or a dreamer of dreams arises among you and gives you a sign or a wonder, and the sign or wonder that he tells you comes to pass, and if he says, let's go after other gods, which you have not known, and let us serve them, you shall not listen to the words of that prophet or that dreamer. For the Lord your God is testing you to know whether you love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. So here it clearly says there are people who are going to be able to perform miracles for you. Boom, even healings. If they try to take you from Jesus Christ as Lord, from the Holy Spirit, that's your sign to this is demonic. Because the enemy can perform miracles. Right? It happens. So that word dunamis, there's power. The power is used of a deed or a mighty work. Mighty works done by Christian in the New Testament are attributed to the Spirit. So when we walk in the Spirit, we do works, we have to be sure, is this work that I'm going to perform going to give God glory? Is it going to be a testimony for others to come to the Lord? For instance, why does God heal men in the home? Because he wants them to get clean and get a job? No. Really, I'm going to let you know. God doesn't care about that.
Right.
He does that because he's trying to raise a testimony for you so that you can see what God is able to do and to give God glory.
Yes.
Otherwise, nobody in the home would change. What for? They don't need the men's home. They need a psychiatrist so they can spend all the money there and get Prozac. Huh? That's why we do it. So if it wasn't going into its purpose, there would be no need for any man, any woman to be healed and delivered from those addictions. There'd be no need for any man, any woman to be healed in the church. Why should God heal you? Just to make you feel better? That's not his thing. He will heal you if you're in line with his purpose and he needs you to do something.
Yes.
Yeah.
So that begs the next statement is, you better get aligned if you need a healing. See, the Bible illustrates countless miracles. Pharaohs, if you go back to the book of Genesis, when Pharaohs, the magicians, were challenging Aaron. Remember, his name was Janus and Jambres, and then they threw down the staff, it turned to a snake, and they tried to copy it. Remember, God did a miracle, but then the devil did a miracle too. So what did God do? God's miracle ate the devil's, right? Remember that? If you've seen the cartoon, you know what I'm talking about, right? Right.
Moses leading them through the Red Sea, providing food and drink when there was none, opening the ocean, miracles. Elijah is a well of miracles. He did miracle after miracle, fed by ravens at the brook of Cherith in 1 Kings. Birds came and fed him. Check that out. Huh? He turned a jar of meal and oil for the widow and fed her during a famine when all was lost and she knew she would die. But he was fed with one jar and a little bit of oil. Elijah restored a boy to life by lying on the boy in 1 Kings chapter 17. He laid across the boy and the boy came back to life. The preaching of Peter at Pentecost describes Jesus of Nazareth as a man attested to us by God with mighty works, wonders, and signs. God, Jesus did a lot of things. Remember, I always tell you that, I got to remind you that when Jesus came to the world was demon-possessed. God had not talked to man for 300 years. And all of a sudden, John the Baptist comes, begin to prepare the way for the Messiah. Jesus comes, and that's why everywhere he went, demons were popping out left and right, because they could not withstand the anointing, the power that Jesus had on them.
Yes.
They begin to reveal themselves, because they had to reveal themselves, not because they wanted to. And when they revealed themselves, Jesus had to deal with them. But see, but Jesus didn't come to deal with the demons. He came to deal with us.
Yeah, yeah.
The demons just got in the way.
Right.
Along the way.
Yeah.
And that is still true today. We're not here to deal with demons. We're here to deal with us. As we're dealing with us, these entities will be along your path. And then you handle them. But that's not why we're here. We're not Ghostbusters.
Right.
Amen. Amen. We're Christians trying to become more and more like Jesus.
Yes.
But Jesus did mighty works. In Matthew 8:25, let's all turn there. It says the disciples went and woke him, saying, Lord, save us. We're going to drown. You remember that story? They're on the ship. And a mighty storm began tossing the ship. And in verse 26, Jesus replied, you of little faith, why are you so afraid? Then he got up and rebuked the wind and the waves. And it was completely calm. He rebuked the wind and the waves. The men were amazed and asked, what kind of man is this? Even the wind and waves obey him. When he arrived at the other side of the region of Gadarenes, two demon-possessed men were coming from the tombs and met him. They were so violent that no one could pass away. What do you want with the Son of God? They shouted. Have you come here to torture us before the appointed time? Then the miracles, and before this, right before this, a day before this, before Jesus got in the water and went on this storm, that day, the religious folk said that Jesus was aligned with the devil. They called Jesus the devil. The religious folk. Religious folk will always question miracles. See, but now, because of God's power and might, we are called out by Peter, not to perform miracles, but to repent. Now, we may come across these other things, but the first issue, if you want to have this anointing, this power, is you have to repent. Huh? Repent. Pent. That's a good word. Pent means top. The top. See, we were created to be on the top, not on the bottom. When Adam and Eve fell, right, that we left the top and went to the bottom. That's why he's saying, no, he doesn't want us on the bottom. This is where we're stuck at. He wants us to repent. And sometimes people think repent is like means you can't have fun or you can't do it. No, no, no. Repent means this. Leave the bottom and go to the top. Yeah. Repent. What? This is where they get the word. You probably heard of this. You ever heard of a penthouse? Where is the penthouse? On the top. And God is telling us to repent. You go from the muck and the mire that we're living in now, and you need to get to the pent. Repent. That's what it means. Oh, of course, when you repent, it means you don't want the things of the world. Why? Because the things of the world, the muck and the mire, you want the things of God. You've repented. You went back to the top. See, and the power should be used anytime you're dealing with miracles. The power should be used for one goal, to get everybody to repent. Get back to where you belong.
Yes.
And not just the Beatles. Amen? Moreover, as disciples, we are to receive the Holy Spirit and be a witness to Jesus in Jerusalem, in our locality,
in the region, but throughout the world. That's why we go all over the world. We repent to be disciples, to be witnesses. Acts 1:8. Let's all turn to Acts 1:8. Maybe our song, our media can catch up, right? Or maybe not. Computer's not here. But you, now look to your neighbor and say, he's talking to me. Come on, look at your neighbor and say, he's talking to me. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you.
Yes.
And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the end of the earth.
Yes.
You. Now in the context here, you got to understand here. The context of every miracle is the mission. What is the mission? The context is the mission. Say the mission. That's another way of saying God's will or God's purpose, the context. He says, you will receive power. You will receive power.
Yes.
But not just because he likes you. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be this. In other words, if you flip it and say, if you're not his witness, if you're not going into Judea, if you're not going into Samaria, if you're not going into all the world, why in the heck should he give you anything? And that's what most believers settle for. Nothing. Why? Because that's just too much work. I don't want to be a witness in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria. I just want to be a better husband. That's not good enough. Be a better wife. That's not good enough. Now, that may be good enough to the husband or the wife, but that's not good enough for God. That doesn't allow you to get into his will, into the mission. The context of the mission. Acts describes a number of healings, miracles, and exorcism done by the apostles and their associates. Why? Because they are aligned to the mission.
Yeah. Yeah.
Huh? I'll say this. The mission is the prerequisite for miracles.
Amen.
The mission.
Yeah.
As you go and do, power is given. As you go and do, not as the pastor, because I'm going to do my thing, but it's not up to me. You got to do your thing.
Yeah.
If you're walking with Jesus, you have the same God that I have, correct?
Yeah.
And if you have the same God that I have, and if then you should have access to the same power I have, the same wisdom I have, the same knowledge, and you should be get up and go do something. As you do it, God gives you power. Now people will say, well, I'll do it when I get the power. Doesn't work that way.
Uh-huh.
It's called stepping out in faith. Because you're not going to feel no power. You ain't going to feel nothing. As a matter of fact, it'll shock you. It will. It'll shock the heck out of you. Because you're not going to know. You're going to go by faith. The first time I had to deal with a demon-possessed man, we were in the church in Vallejo. Right? I'm preaching. Right? And I'm looking at the people. And this came from a third party because she was there. What's her sister? She's in Santa Rosa now. She was a woman's home director. You know what I'm talking about? Anyway, I can't remember her name. Anyway, she testified to this. She told me what happened. I didn't see this part because my back was to it. When I turned around, the guy was standing there on his knees. Who are you? And I'm like, whoa, check that dude out, right? And this had never happened to me. I didn't like go to a demon, casting out demon school. I didn't know what I was doing. I turned around, I said, whoa. And then everything like went slow motion. Like, what do I do? And I look at the people, everybody's all, their eyes like this. I go, what do? And so I go, I'm the preacher, so I got to act like I know what I'm doing, but I don't know what the heck I'm doing. But I knew this. I said, I rebuke you in Jesus' name, right? And the guy falls down and starts slithering. And then I'm thinking, whoa, it worked. I was like, it worked, man. The guy's like, and I said, well, what do I do? And everybody's panicking. And I'll never forget, maybe it wasn't the smartest thing, but you, like I said, you don't know. You don't feel nothing. You just do things based on what the Word of God says. So I went down there, and the guy on the ground, I got in his ear. I go, in Jesus' name, you get up, and you walk out that exit. That's all. Because I wanted him to get him out of here because the people were all scared, right? So I get up and walk out of that exit. He jumps up, and he walks right out the exit. And I go, whoa, that was heavy. Believe me, I made an altar call, and everybody wanted to get saved then. I said, if you don't get saved, I'm going to call him back in. Amen? But why did it happen? Because God had a reason for somebody in that church to get saved. Somebody to have be touched by God. And people got delivered. Why? Because miracles open people's eyes. Amen?
Yes.
See, signs and wonders, the expression of signs and wonders is a deliberate echo of the Old Testament language. Stephan draws attention to the fact that signs and wonders performed by Jesus are equivalent to signs and wonders in Exodus when Moses was taking them out. Remember the signs and wonders that they got delivered, right? And God performed a lot of signs and wonders. We talked about the Red Sea, but remember the plagues and all these different things that were taking place through Moses' voice and through his hand. Well, Stephan said when Jesus did the signs and wonders, it was the same thing. As Moses brought him out of captivity with signs and wonders, Jesus came to the earth and began to bring people out of captivity through signs and wonders. It was an echo, right? Why? Because people did not listen. They're more intrigued by the sign and the wonder. That's how you get their attention, right? See, again, Moses performed miracles to set his people free. Jesus performed miracles not only to set us free, for he who the Son sets free is free indeed, but he said to go and do the mission. Well, at Pentecost, Peter declares signs and wonders belonging to the biblical teaching of the outpouring of the Spirit. So, if I ask you, are you filled with the Holy Ghost? Right? Hopefully, the majority of you will say yes. Some of you will say, what is the Holy Ghost? Right? Tell me, and you need to learn about that. But if I ask, who's filled with the Holy Spirit? Raise your hand. So, if you're filled with the Holy Spirit, the proof is signs and wonders will follow you. If signs and wonders don't follow you, then maybe you're filled with your taco that you ate last night, not the Holy Ghost. Hello. Either the Bible is true or not. Remember, I said, I didn't know anything about signs and wonders. I knew I met God. I knew that I was going to serve him. And I knew that was it. I wasn't going to play games. I'm not that kind of person. Once I say I'm in, I'm in. We're going to go down. We're going to go down. If I got your back, then we're going down together. We're going to get shot together, whatever. We're going down because I got your back. That's just the way it is. I had that in the world. And I came to God. I said, God, I'm in. All in. Let's do this. So I stepped in. And when I read it, I said, okay, I'm going to hold you to your word. And when I first got saved, I didn't have a good vernacular. It wasn't, I was just from the neighborhood. I said, hey, dude, I got your back. So you better have my back, man. Your word says that I go out, I can do miracles. Okay, let's do this. Because if you don't do that, then you're a liar. I would tell him just like that. So you better do it. I would call him to his word. And I went looking. Who can I lay hands on? Who can I deal with? Right? I remember I was kind of weird like this. I would get my shadow and have my shadow hit people because I believe that if my shadow hit people, they get saved. No, it didn't work for everybody, but it worked for a lot. The sun would be behind me. I go, wait. Get here. There you go. And I'd be talking, my shadow would be hitting them. I'm like, oh, get him, shadow. Why? But the word of God said it can happen. If it can happen, it can happen. Yeah. And I am naive enough to believe it. Now, I got educated, but the education will mess you up. It will, because it'll make you think God. God said it'll happen. That's it. Forget your education. Right. Right. Amen? Right. And so I believed it. And because I believed it, it happened. What happened? The world is constantly moving on you, on everybody, moving on you. Why? To deaden your sensitivity to the miraculous. To say, no, that doesn't happen anymore. And when it doesn't happen the first time to you, you get, well, this doesn't happen. No, it just didn't happen that time. Keep moving, man. Yeah. Don't stop. Right. Don't lose your faith. Miracles still happen. Yeah. People are delivered. Yeah. There are miracles every day. Doctors, I don't know how they got healed, but they're healed now. Yeah. I don't know what happened. They're healed. They were going to die. Now they're not dying. No, not dead. And we've all heard those stories, right? So we know miracles happen. Don't believe the lie of the devil. You need a miracle? Okay, let me say, you need a miracle? But you have to believe God. God. Huh? See, these people were not oblivious to the supernatural. They understood the supernatural. In Acts 2:22, the preacher is preaching. And Peter says, men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God with mighty works and wonders and signs that God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves know. So signs and wonders were commonly performed by followers of Jesus, by the apostles in Jerusalem, by Stephan, by Paul and Barnabas in Iconium, miracle after miracle, by Peter at the temple, by Philip in Samaria. The miracles, we hear about the miracle when they're testifying. And the Bible says that Philip was translated from there, and he went out and he met an Ethiopian eunuch on a chariot, reading the book of Isaiah, wondering, is this God really true? Is this true? What am I reading here? And then instantly, God seeing that there's a need. There was a need, not because God wanted to move somebody. There was a need, and he had an opportunity to take the word of God from this Ethiopian eunuch, take it into North Africa. He translates Philip. Boom, Philip catches him on the road. Now, sometimes you don't catch it, but when you read that story, it says Philip was running alongside the chariot. Like the $6 million man. You know, and the chariot's going along, and he's running. And the eunuch, if I'm a eunuch, I'm going, hold up, Jack. What's this dude doing here? And then he starts talking to him about the book of Isaiah as he's running alongside the chariot. Now, that's a miracle. Why did it happen? Because God and that situation was aligned with his mission. That's why it's so important that our walk with Jesus be aligned with the mission. If your walk with Jesus is not aligned with God's mission, then there's no need for miracles. And that is why most Christians don't see or realize any miracles. That's why. What the devil is so pleased with you, he lets you be blessed with the material. Just stay out of the supernatural. And then we say, well, God's blessing me. I don't know. If their blessings are taking you away from the mission, I would dare say that is not God. Hello, somebody. Miracles are healing and exorcism. Acts 5, verse 12 reads like this. Now, many signs and wonders were regularly done among the people by the hands of the apostles. And they were all together at Solomon's portico. None of the rest dared join them, but the people held them in high esteem. And more than ever, believers were added to the Lord, multitudes of men and women, so that they even carried out the sick unto the streets and laid them on cots and mats, that as Peter came by, at least his shadow might fall on some of them. The people also gathered from the towns of Jerusalem, bringing the sick and those afflicted with unclean spirits, and they were all healed. Now, healing is an exorcism. That's a wild thing. But it produces a lot of mixed emotions among believers. Those who don't believe, right, and they're too tied up into the word, and they eliminate the miracles of God because they're so studied. They've studied the Holy Ghost right out and live off the word of God without the author of God. It does no good to understand the word of God if you don't know the author.
Well, that's right. That's right.
Can I say that again? Well, you know what I'm talking about. You have to know the author of God. The Spirit of God gives the Word of God life. And so we have mixed emotions. Some even believe that miracles don't happen no more. But see, these miracles led to the imprisonment of Peter and Paul. Just like today, Peter and Paul were thrown in prison. Why? Because they were doing miracles. It reminds me of the historical fact that we had here in Salem in this witch trial. You ever heard of the Salem witch trials? In 1692, people feared the supernatural. A group of young girls in the village of Salem village in Massachusetts, they were suffering from strange contortions. They were contorting, and they didn't know why. Muscle spasm. They were having delusions. As a result, the people claimed that they were possessed by the devil and accused several local women of witchcraft. These women are putting these spells. That's why we're acting like we're acting. The first convicted witch was Bridget Bishop, was hanged in June of 1692. 18 others followed Bishop to the Salem's gallows on that hill. Some 150 more men, women, and children were accused over the next several months of being witches. Why? Because they didn't understand this. Now look what happened. Decades later, a study published in Science Magazine in 1976 cited the fungus ergot. The fungus is found in rye, wheat, and other cereals. Toxicologists say that this fungus causes delusions and muscle spasms. So these girls were being hit by a fungus. So because people didn't understand it, they blamed witches. And they wanted those witches killed. Right. Now, we've got a little more sophisticated, but the same is true. When you begin to perform miracles, miracles start happening. That person's a cult. That person's of the devil. And it's a lack of understanding.
Yeah.
As long as the miracle, and I'll say this again, points to Jesus,
right,
points to God,
yeah,
you listen. When it takes you from that, you run from it.
Yeah. Yeah.
The many healings and exorcisms performed by the apostles caused a great response. It says here, believers were added to the Lord, multitudes of women and men daily. They sought Peter's shadow. Paul healed the lame in Listeria. In Acts 16, Paul cast out a spirit of divination from a slave girl. They performed miracles at Ephesus and brought out so much faith that the church would carry handkerchiefs from his body for healing the sick and to cast out demons. The people believed so much that they just wanted Paul to touch handkerchiefs. And they would take it, and that handkerchief was healing people. Now, it wasn't the handkerchief. They got sidetracked. It was their belief. They didn't need the handkerchief. They needed the faith to believe it could happen. But they didn't have the faith. So because humans are very, they like to see things. They're material world people, right? The Lord allowed them to use that handkerchief as a focal point of their faith, believing that a healing would occur. And it did. Now, does it happen now? Not often. It could. But we don't need to. We're a little bit more educated. We read the Bible. These people didn't read the Bible. They were taught the Bible. They heard the Bible. They didn't have the Word of God. They didn't have the understanding that we have. We have understanding. There's no need for that no more. You just have to have the faith to believe it can happen. Because some people, then you have charlatans. They're actually trying to sell you a handkerchief. This was dipped in the oil and the river of Nile, of the waters of the Holy Land. Oh, that's a bunch of malarkey.
Yeah, yeah.
That is. And then they ruin it for the rest of us. You don't need that. In that case, I could get a bunch of handkerchiefs, dip it in mineral water, you know, Perrier, and here you go, and sell it to you if you want to buy that. You don't need that.
Right.
Don't fall for that.
Yeah.
What you need is faith to believe that miracles happen. What you need to have faith to know that you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. That's what you need. The faith. The faith. The faith. See, in these cases, Paul and Peter, the healings and exorcism provided opportunity to proclaim the Word of God. And that's what the mission. Remember the mission? That's why it was happening. A miracle, preach the Word of God. A miracle, God healed. A miracle, preach the Word of God. A miracle, lay hands on the sick, baptize them with the Holy Ghost. Why? It was their mission to expand the kingdom of God. Jesus used miracles not simply to expand the kingdom of God, because he wasn't here that long. He wasn't here long enough to expand the kingdom. So he had to use miracles to teach a motley crew of 12 disciples. Now, if you were to check their resume, you would say Jesus picked the wrong guys. I mean, he picked the bottom of the barrel. He'd be like, Jesus, you done messed up. You picked the wrong guys. But God knew what he was doing. So what did Jesus do? Jesus began to use miracles to teach his disciples. Because he had a short time, a three-year window, to give everything that he could to them so that they, in turn, could give it to us.
Yeah.
That's where we pick up the story in Matthew 8:25. When Jesus spoke to the wind and the waters and said, calm, peace be still. And he calmed it. And the men said, what kind of a man is this? He's speaking to the wind. He's speaking to the water. And the wind and water obey him? And then he comes to the land. He came to the land and it says two men came out that were demon-possessed. They revealed themselves. And they even said, what are you doing here, Jesus? You come to torture us before the appointed time? Because they all knew. They knew their time was coming. And that's not why he did that. He did it because he had 12 men that were watching everything that he did. And he needed to teach them.
Yeah.
And Acts 8:14-24 tells us of Simon. Simon Magus, who deemed the gift of the Spirit to be a form of superior magic. And sought to purchase it from Peter and John. He's seen him. He goes, I want some of that power. I want that. And he was a witch. He was a sorcerer. He understood power. But he thought he could buy it. You can't buy this stuff. This is not for sale. Faith. is the economy that you got to walk in. In the world, money works, but what I'm talking about, the economy of God's kingdom is faith.
Amen.
God, the Bible says, searches the world and looks for people of faith. And it says there that he can't find them. Why? Because people have lost faith. They're trusting more in the government. They're trusting more in all these other things. They're trusting in man. They're trusting, they're not having faith in God. Faith. See, the apostles would lay hands on people and they would receive the Holy Spirit. When Simon saw that the Spirit was given through the laying of the hands, he offered him money. He gave me that ability to lay the hands on. Give me some of that power so that anyone whom I lay my hand may receive the Holy Spirit. So when I read that, I go, I want that. I do. I want that one. I don't know. Something about that power. Just like, yeah, I want that. See, but then I learned you can't buy it. Oh, there's a price for it. But you can't buy it. But what's the price? The price is what? You have to learn how to pray.
Amen.
Yeah, you have to read your word. Not just pray, you have to fast. And then the price gets even deeper. You have to learn to deal with people who really could care less about you. But you deal with them anyway. Why? Because that's part of the price of faith. Because your faith has to be tested. And eventually, look, if you're not called of God, if you're a fake and a fraud and a full-time broad, dealing with people will weed you right out. You'll say, I ain't doing this no more, man. Why? Because these people are no good. People will wear you out. Can I say amen?
Amen.
But if you're called of God, no devil in hell, no people in hell can wear you out. Because you know you're called of God. So God is testing you. Every time he brings a challenge of a person who stabs you in the back, when a person stabs you in the back, you should turn around and say, you missed a spot. Bah, give me some more. And just keep preaching. Right? Because you're being tested. And God sees that. And then he goes, you know, this man is a man of faith. This woman is a woman of faith. I can trust them with more. I can give them more. Why? Because they're putting up with them. And listen, God knows the type of people we are. Right? He does. One time he wanted to kill them all. Right? And he said, well, I'll leave Noah and his kids alone. Another time he told Moses, I'm going to wipe them all out. Moses had to make a negotiate. Come on, God. If you kill them all, you know, and then the people will talk about, can you hold back? And because Moses talked God all of it, he didn't wipe them out. So listen, God knows the type of people we is.
Yes.
So when we walk and we deal with people, God understands that you're doing it and you're not letting it wear you down. You're not letting it discourage you. You're moving forward. Then God begins to honor you, and now you're paying the price.
Amen. Come on.
That's the money won't get at you. That's the price you gotta pay.
Right?
Right? And as you pay that price, you get more power.
That's right.
You get more anointing.
Come on.
Acts 19:11, as I'm coming around for landing. And God was doing extraordinary miracles by the hands of Paul. So that even handkerchiefs and aprons that had touched his skin were carried away to the sick, and their diseases left them, and evil spirits came out of them. Someone, the itinerant Jewish exorcist, undertook to invoke the name of the Lord Jesus over those who had evil spirits. I adjure you by Jesus, whom Paul proclaims. Seven sons of a Jewish high priest named Sceva were doing this. But the evil spirit answered them, Jesus I know, Paul I recognize, but who are you? And the man in whom was the evil spirit leaped on them, mastered all of them, overpowered them, so they fled out of the house naked and wounded. And this became known to all the residents of Ephesus, both Jews and Greeks. A fear fell upon all of them, and the name of the Lord was exalted. Notice what happened. And the name of the Lord was exalted. Why? It happened because of the mission. Now see, these men thought they could go out there and just do it. And that's why I see it. Look, we operate, we believe in the gifts, and the people in the church say, oh, I want some of that. But they're not ready for it. But they think they are, because they read the Bible. They were in the home, and they think they are. Or they've been in another ministry for years, and they come here, and they hear it, and they I can do that too. And they try it. I've seen it. You better be ready for it.
Yeah. Well,
that's all I can say. I'm not going to argue if you're ready or not. But you better be ready for it. Because the spirits will jump on you. We deal with some trippy spirits. We deal with some. Let me say it again. We deal with some trippy spirits around here. Yeah. Amen? So you better be ready for it. If not, just kick back. Learn a little bit. Get something under your belt. Huh? Fall under some leadership. Figure this out. And then operate. But don't get ahead of yourself. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Amen?
Amen.
Don't get ahead of yourself. This episode led to wholesale abandonment of magic by believers. Because at that time, believers would bring their tradition, their magic, into the church. Believers. Now, we're not talking about the world. They would bring, they understood magic. They understood witchcraft. They understood all this stuff. And they brought that into the church. When this began to happen, all the believers said, let's cut this magic stuff loose. Huh? And they began to burn their books. Those who truly repented gave a burnt offering valued at 50,000 pieces of silver. Huh? They said, we're out. They would just get rid of all the stuff they had. So the most important result of God's power, it says there, that the word of the Lord continue to increase. Power. Acts 19, verse 18, and I'm going to close soon. Also, many of those who were now believers came confessing and divulging their practices. Now you got to understand, this is the church now. This is not the world. They were confessing. They gave up what they were doing. It's like when a guy gets saved, a girl gets saved, and they're smoking dope right now, and they're still coming to church, and they say, well, you know what? I heard somebody say, marijuana opens me up to God. It opens you up to the devil, you big dummy.
Yeah.
Well, that's another message. Let me get back here. Verse 19, and a number of those who had practiced magic arts brought their books together and burned them in the sight of all. It was like an old man barrel, but with fire. Amen. We do it outside, go to an old man barrel and burn everything. And they counted the value of them and found that it came to 50,000 pieces of silver. Power is a witness. Signs, wonders, the gifts of the Spirit are witnesses which God gives to us. That's why we open up with the scripture. In Hebrews 2:4, God also testified it by signs, wonders, and various miracles, and the gifts of the Holy Spirit distributed according to His will. God testifies. So I'm believing today, not just a miracle, but people got to get filled with the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
Let me say that again. People got to get filled with the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
Yes. I was at the rehab conference in Fremont, no, no, San Jose, I'm sorry. In San Jose just about a month ago. Mike was there. And they asked the crowd, I think Pastor Sonny asked the crowd, you know, who's not filled with the Holy Ghost? And literally 80% of the people in that room were not. These are men's home, women's home. It was mainly a rehab. There was some church members, mainly rehab. And he looked back and I go, whoa, wait a minute. That's not right. We had a whole church full who loved Jesus, who understood the Word of God, but they weren't filled with the Holy Ghost. So you know what Pastor Sonny did? You guys need to get up right now. And we began to pray that they would get filled with the Holy Ghost. We had a Holy Ghost hold down. I mean, you know, we got down. It was like, whoa, check this out. It was party. They even got me a video of me dancing on the stage. I was dancing, huh? Somebody got me. But it was good. And that church was packed. Why? Because people are not filled with the Holy Spirit. They don't understand the importance of being filled with the power. They don't understand it, or their intellect shies away. Well, I don't want to speak in tongues. Or, you know, what is that? You sound like Fred Flintstone. Yabba dabba doo. So they eliminate that, and so their intellect pushes it away because they need to understand it. Do you really think you can understand the mind of God? You can't understand the mind of God. Are you kidding me? And the moment you try is when your brain is turned into scrambled eggs.
Come on.
You better leave that one alone.
Yes,
amen?
Amen?
God gives to us not because we deserve it,
right,
because of His will. Right? For man to claim otherwise, that we deserve what God gives us, that, my friend, is insanity. The prophet Daniel wrote the first king of the king, rather, King Nebuchadnezzar, and he thought he was equal to God. He would do God's work. He didn't need God. He actually said that. And in Daniel 4:34, he said, after time had passed, Nebuchadnezzar looked to heaven, and his sanity returned to him. Then he began to praise God and give God worship and honored him who lived forever. He realized it was God who ruled everlasting. It was God's kingdom was eternal. He realized that God controlled the people of the earth and nothing compared to God. Then he came to his senses. Hello, someone. So God will testify to you through his power. He testifies by signs, wonders, and miracles. He'll testify. Why do you think I'm here? You know, I could go through all the whole, I've been through a whole lot of mess. But I go back to when God touched me. And the devil, no matter what he throws at me, cannot take out the first time I met the Holy Ghost. He can't take that away from me. Huh? And every time I'm going through trials and tribulation, God will take me back to a trip. Remember when we first met? I go, yeah, remember what happened? You want me to do it again? Okay, get back in line. Okay. That's my conversation. You know, people. I tell people this. You know, I've been in God's presence, and I'll say, with all due respect, it scared the hell out of me.
Yeah.
I didn't want. I was like, whoa, wait a minute, man. Because you know why? I think it scared me so much because I knew how wicked I had been. I knew how ugly I am. I knew the thoughts I had, and all of a sudden, a holy and righteous God walked into the room of a man. I was miserable. Of a man, I felt. I was like in terror. Because if he were to kill me, I deserved it.
Yeah.
Yet he let me live. For that reason alone, I serve him.
Yeah.
For that reason alone, I fight off sin. Is it easy to fight off sin? Is it, oh, hello, somebody. I'm asking for an answer. Please don't let me hang it. It is not easy fighting off sin. That's a tough thing. You know why it's so tough to fight off sin? Because sometimes sin just tastes so good. Hello, somebody. You know, sin looks so nice.
It's true.
It's hard to fight off sin.
Yeah.
Oh, but because God, I have a relationship and a fear of God, I know I don't want to fight. I don't want to do it. And then I've seen others who fell victim to that little taste, that little momentary lust.
Yeah.
And what good was it? No good. None whatsoever. And after they done it, they regret it. A little too late, dude.
Yeah.
You got to regret it before you do it so you don't do it.
Hello?
Huh? Have a relationship, have a miracle experience with God. Because if it wasn't for that, oh boy, I'd be in trouble.
Yeah.
Amen?
Amen?
He testifies by signs. He testifies by gifts of the Holy Spirit. So right now, if you're not filled with the Holy Ghost, you begin to pray. I'm going to ask my piano player to come up. God's testimony comes to and through those who do his will. We said earlier, in the context of this mission, and that the mission is the prerequisite for miracles. The mission. So, I can't ask somebody to be baptized of the Holy Ghost if they have not in their heart settled that they're going to give their life to God's mission. It just doesn't work. I can't ask somebody for God to heal somebody if your healing is just going to make you feel good, but it's not going to give God glory. If you're not going to shout it from the rooftop, just like I shout my testimony to the rooftop. Why? And I'll continue to shout it and shout it because I want to stay aligned with his mission. I don't want to just be a Christian and come to church.
Yeah, right.
That's not my gig. That's not what I'm trying to create here. I'm trying to create believers who walk with Jesus, who talk with the Holy Spirit, who move under the unction of power, who understand the anointing and enjoy the anointing and want the anointing and use the anointing and move out in the anointing. That's what I'm trying to talk about. That's what I'm trying to produce here.
Come on.
So that's my altar call. That's what I want. That's what I'm believing God for. If that's you, I need you to come up here. We're going to pray.